This episode is supported by Active Skin Repair. Active Skin Repair is a skin health company helping people heal with natural, non-toxic, medical-grade ingredients. I just randomly, Vinny was having a toe skin irritation issue, and he ended up having this like skin that was really irritating him, and it was getting kind of like icky, and you know, like when kids start to get like little scabs and scratches and then they want to pick at it, and it was getting worse. And so Active Skin Repair showed up on my doorstep as a result of the sponsorship, and I got to put it to use immediately. And I got the ointment formula, or the like ointment formulation, and then also the spray, and the spray was perfect. So Vinny does not like ointmenty, creamy, lotiony things on his body, but I was able to get out the spray, literally took it out of the packaging the day it arrived, put it on his toe before he went to bed. And the next morning he was like, "Mom, my toe's all better." It was literally like this super amazing cure that helped his toes so quickly. So you can use Active Skin Repair on a wide range of skin issues, including cuts, scrapes, burns, sunburns, rashes, other types of skin damage. It's totally safe, non-toxic, suitable on all types of skin, even parts of the body where you might have rosacea or eczema or have acne-prone skin. This is also safe for the youngest members of your family up to the oldest. So now you have one simple solution for your family's skin health needs. With over 500,000 happy customers and thousands of five-star reviews and super safe and clean ingredients, Active Skin Repair is something that you want to have on hand for your family. So to get your own Active Skin Repair, go to activeskinrepair.com to learn more about Active Skin Repair and get 20% off your order when you use the code SHAMELESS. That's activeskinrepair.com. Use the code SHAMELESS for 20% off your order. activeskinrepair.com, code SHAMELESS. This is the Shameless Mom Academy, episode 858. Show notes for this episode, including any links mentioned in the episode, can be found by going to shamelessmom.com and clicking on episode 858. Welcome to the Shameless Mom Academy. I'm your host, Sarah Dean. I'm here to give you and other passionate, driven, unapologetic moms tools, resources, and a little bit of humor to help you lead more positive, powerful, and purposeful lives every damn day. One of the best things about the Shameless Mom Academy is our community, so be sure to join us in our free private Facebook group to connect with other shameless moms just like you. You can find us over at shamelessmom.com/Facebook. All right, let's dive into today's episode. Hello, Shameless Moms. Happy Monday if you're listening in live time. So we're talking today about how to be a better listener if you're a talker. And this is a little ironic because I definitely identify as a talker. You don't have 858 podcast episodes if you're not a talker. So I definitely identify as a talker, but I wanted to do this episode because one of the things I know about myself about being a talker is that listening is really hard for me. But I love being in conversation with people and I love listening. Like a huge part of what I do for my work is listening. When I'm coaching people, listening is my most critical skill. And so I also have to be aware, as someone who loves to talk and is super extroverted in multiple ways, I have to be really aware of matching my talking, like my quantity of talking with my quantity of listening. If not, even trying to be more of a listener than talker in a lot of situations. And this is a challenge for me for sure. I have a couple of funny things to share in this episode in terms of, you know, what this has looked like for me over time. But I have to say the first time I really realized that this was a struggle for me was when I was interacting with a personal training client of mine years ago. And I noticed that when I would talk to her, and we had great chemistry, I loved this woman, like we had so much fun working together. But I noticed when I was talking to her that she would often, as I was still talking, her mouth would open as if she was going to interrupt me, but then she wouldn't. So like you could see that she had something to say that was on the tip of her tongue and it was about to leap out of her mouth at any given moment, and she was trying to hold it back in. So I would be like completing a sentence or a story or an instruction or something, and she would be like preparing her thing to say, and like you could tell she was like, her mouth was already agape. Is that the right word? Agape, a gap, ready to get her words out the second I was done. And I noticed it a few times, and then I realized, oh my gosh, I do that too. And if you ever had that experience where you like watch someone doing something and you're like, huh, interesting that they do that. Like something, not something I've really seen before. And then later you're like, oh wait, I do that same thing. And I had this realization that she is someone and I am someone who while listening is formulating the sentence that you want to say first when the other person is done talking. So this is often the case for extroverts. This can be the case for people who think they have great stories, which is often in many cases extroverts. This is people with anxiety and ADHD and neurodivergence. It can be very hard for people, and I'm in that category, and it can be very hard for us to listen because of the pace at which our brain works. Like, we are just like ready to have that next thing, like in rapid succession. And sometimes that's at the expense of actually listening to what the person we're engaged in conversation with has to say before, like, we're busy formulating the answer so quickly and firmly that we're not even responding to their whole statement. We're responding to like the first three words that they said, because then we stopped listening after three words to start formulating our response. This is also relevant for people who want to improve their communication skills or people who want to strengthen relationships. So if you're someone who maybe doesn't identify as an extrovert, or, you know, someone who is always like just ready and eager to start talking the second someone else is done talking, you might be someone who wants to improve your communication skills, or that you want to, you know, strengthen your relationships by being a better listener. And those are all great reasons to listen to this episode. So the other day I was parenting an 11-year-old is just, whew, not for the faint of heart. And I noticed that one of the things that was happening in this conversation I was having with my child was that I would say things and then he would respond. And I was like, dude, you clearly didn't hear my full statement. You heard the first 20% and then made an assumption about the rest of what I was going to say. And then you replied to that assumption. So after I noticed it the first time, I started noticing it routinely, to the point of having to point out, hey, Vinny, you have to let me finish the thing I'm saying, because you're not responding to the whole thing. You're responding to like the first 10, 20%. But if you listen to me till I get to the end, I've actually already either remedied the situation that you're about to be mad at me about, because every 11-year-old is mad at their parents about something at like 95% of the time, it seems, or I've, like, the thing that you think we're about to get in an argument about is not the thing that we're actually getting in an argument about. And so I noticed that this was something that was happening with Vinny, and I was realizing, like, oh my gosh, it's because I do that too. Like, he inherited this from me. It's one of our mutual traits, and it doesn't really serve us. And I've also noticed and had comments, you know, from teachers at school and stuff over the years, like, you know, sometimes your child is so eager to complete a task that they don't fully listen to the explanation. And then they have to go back and do things over because they just dove in again with that like first 20% knowledge and not fully listening. Or they dove in to that, they got the first 20% of the information and then immediately had questions that were going to be answered in like the next 10% or 20%. And this is me too, right? I don't know if you've had this experience in a work environment or a meeting environment where someone starts to explain something and you immediately have three questions and you're so worried about forgetting the questions that you stop listening to what the person is saying because you're trying to like hold on to your questions, or you just interrupt them to ask the questions and they're like, hold on, wait, like we're getting there. And so this is something that happens to me, or has happened to me many times, and it's something that I have to like take notes on things. And this happens a lot when I'm interviewing people. I have to like take notes and just like jot down keywords so that I'll remember to go back to something, because otherwise I always want to interrupt people with like three different things to either comment back on or ask follow-up questions on. And I know as a good interviewer, it's so annoying if an interviewer is constantly interrupting an interviewee. So this is a skill I've had to work on professionally. But it's been interesting how the things that we do professionally don't always carry over personally. So I've had to learn how to be a better listener as an interviewer. I've learned how to be a better listener as a coach. In that coaching context, I love being an active listener because I really do love learning about people. So I love listening to when my coaching clients have, if it's a business coaching client and they're asking me questions about their business or telling me what's going on, I love that. If it's an executive coaching client and they're telling me what's happening at work or a struggle that they're having in a relationship, like I love listening to that and I want to know more. So it's not hard for me to sit back and listen in those situations. But in terms of carryover into my normal personal life, I do not exhibit that same patience and curiosity when talking to my child or talking to my partner or talking to people that I interact with on a daily basis. I'm much more likely to resort to those like less positive social skills of trying to talk over someone or having like like, you know, the one upper, that person who always has a story, like you tell a story and then they're like, oh my gosh, listen, what happened to me? And then it's like always like just a little bit better than your story. I know I can be that person. And if I'm not careful, if I'm in a really comfortable situation, I just do that naturally. If I'm a little uncomfortable, maybe it's a less familiar situation, I'll check myself to be like, hold on, like, is this story relevant? Are you one-upping someone? Is it really needed? Are you just talking for the sake of talking? Are you just talking because like you think you're really funny by telling a funny story, but no one really cares? And so in those unfamiliar or professional environments or just less comfortable environments, we'll often kind of check ourselves before talking, right? But in some of our most intimate relationships, because of the familiarity, we aren't as good at it because we haven't had to be, because those people tend to give us more grace. Or we also are just in communication patterns that are less functional. So we're like, okay, I'm just going to talk when they're talking, or I'm going to interrupt them, or I'm going to say what I want to say, when I want to say it, how I want to say it. And if we get into an argument, whatever, like we'll figure that out when we get there. Or, you know, we've argued about this before, or this is just what we do, or all these different patterns of communication that might not actually be super functional or helpful or even healthy at times. This episode is supported by Nutrafol. Did you know that hair thinning will happen to approximately 1 in 2 women? If you're among them, you are not alone. Thinning hair is normal, but it's not openly talked about, so it can feel lonely and frustrating and sometimes even embarrassing when you're going through it yourself. Join the over 1 million people who are doing something about their thinning hair with Nutrafol. Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist-recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster-growing hair with less shedding. Oh my gosh, I am a heavy shedder, so if you are a heavy shedder, or if you are someone who's wanting to thicken your hair, I definitely want you to try out Nutrafol. I have loved using it myself, and I know multiple other people who've used it and have found great results. While many supplements rely solely on ingredient studies, Nutrafol clinically tests final formulations to ensure their efficacy. In a clinical study, 86% of women reported improved hair growth after taking Nutrafol Women's Hair Growth Supplement for 6 months. To get started, you can take their hair quiz on Nutrafol.com, which will give you a personalized health plan based on your special root causes. Nutrafol is committed to helping you identify root causes of any shedding or hair loss so that you can really start to rebuild healthy hair in a way that is customized to you. So take the first steps to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code SHAMELESS. Find out why 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. Go to Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code SHAMELESS. Nutrafol.com, code SHAMELESS. This episode is supported by AquaTrue. Having clean, safe water is the last thing you want to worry about. But unfortunately, according to extensive research by the Environmental Working Group, 3 out of 4 homes in America have harmful contaminants in their tap water. So that's why you got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers have a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers, which is what we have, take no installation or plumbing, and they remove 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, and they're specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS, which can lead to potentially adverse health effects like cancer, endocrine system disruption, and liver toxicity, which is part of what makes AquaTrue so special, unique, and important in terms of how they are able to filter water. They also have water purifiers to fit every type of home. So like the installation-free countertop purifier that we have at our house, to higher capacity under sink options. They even have Wi-Fi connected purifiers and mineral boost options. So I'm so excited about our new AquaTrue. And here's the thing. I swear it's like a gentle reminder to actually drink more water every time you walk into your kitchen. So we are drinking more water now, and also more clean water. So more water that is more clean. It feels like a double win. I'm feeling pretty impressed with us. I feel like sink water, tap water becomes invisible at a certain point. And when I see the purifier on my counter, it's like many time a day reminder to like, keep drinking. So I want you to check out AquaTrue for yourself and for your family. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee, and that makes it a great gift as well. Today, my listeners can receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com, and enter the code SHAMELESS at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue purifier when you go to AquaTrue.com and use the code SHAMELESS, SHAMELESS. AquaTrue.com, code SHAMELESS. So when you think about listening and talking, start thinking about where you fall on the spectrum. Now, if you're an introvert, you are probably like, yes, talkers, shut up. I have a number of friends who are introverts. And when I'm in a less familiar relationship with an introvert, I am very conscious of how much I'm talking. And this has happened a couple times over the last few years as I've gotten to know more and more of Vinny's friends' moms. And so, you know, a lot of my friends before Vinny was in school were like friends I've had for a really long time and they've known me forever. And they're just like, oh, Sarah, you know, she talks a lot. Like they love me for it, whatever. They get annoyed at times, but they know me. But as I've made new friends in social circles related to stuff with school and sports and our school community and all these different things, I've noticed when I'm getting to become friends with an introvert and I will catch myself, I'll be like, oh boy, I'm like totally over talking right now. And I'll like try to pull back. And then what is so fascinating to me is to notice, how do introverts engage in conversations differently than me? So how is an introvert engaging in a new relationship with another woman, another mom, in their way to build like foundational building blocks of a relationship without over talking? And it's really interesting to watch. And I know some of this because before engaging in new friendships with over the last few years, as Vinny's developed friendships and as I've been cultivating these mom friendships, before that, I spent a decent amount of time with my team really looking at, and as I built out my team and the people that support me with the podcast, really looking at different people's skill sets so that I could make sure that I had people in the right positions to be working in their zone of genius. And what I mean by that is like really doing the things that they're really good at and really hiring people to do the things that they're really good at rather than trying to hire someone to be like a catch-all for all the things and then giving them a lot of stuff that they're not really good at or that doesn't really speak to their skills or their talents or gifts or passions. And what came up with doing that over the last number of years, but over the first few years of the podcast especially, was recognizing how do introverts and extroverts on my team interact differently? And how can, when we're all in meetings, how do people share and how do people listen? And how do we make space for one another? And how do we make sure that everyone's being heard? And this often would come up on our team with one team formation where there was four of us and two introverts and two extroverts. And what I would notice, we would have these weekly Monday meetings. And in these meetings, we had so much fun. Like we were a great team working together, but the two extroverts, we would just like dive in. What'd you do this weekend and how'd it go? And oh my gosh. And we'd go off on our stories and our tangents. And the introverts would just like be sitting there taking it in. And then one of us extroverts would have to pass the baton. And because I was like the boss of it all, I would pass the baton and be like, okay, introverts, like, what about your weekend? Because the other extrovert and I would just like take over. So we had to be really conscientious of, okay, like, let's make equal space for everyone in this conversation. And it kind of became this joke in terms of how we all engaged with one another. But it also really was fascinating as we had to make decisions together as a team and as we would problem solve different situations as a team, that the extrovert and I, we would immediately leap into like verbally processing and trying to troubleshoot different things right out of the gates. And the two introverts would really want to sit back and listen for a while and listen to what the extroverts were saying, listen to what I was saying, listen to the other extrovert. And then they would come in with like one statement that would be the golden statement, like the thing that we'd been waiting for. And this is where that listening becomes so critical. When you are a talker, when you're not making space to listen and hear other people, you're often overriding their brilliance. You're not making space for them to say the things that are really, really important. And oftentimes introverts will listen, take it in, process, come up with this fantastic answer. And by the time they've done that, the extrovert has like shared four stories, come up with 17 solutions. They're not sure if any of them are good. And they've just gone on and on and on. And then the introvert is like, huh, so I've been listening. And here's what I'm thinking. And then whatever they say is like the thing. It's the thing that you need. It's the thing that you need to solve the problem. It's like the most brilliant thing you've ever heard because they're internally processing and figuring it out while the external processors and the extroverts are externally processing by talking it out. So you both often end up, you know, at a great place at the end, but those talkers have to make room to listen so that everyone can be heard. So how are we doing that in our professional relationships, in our personal relationships, especially in our intimate relationships in ways that are really functional and healthy? So this actually came up last night in my household where I had something that I was, as a chronic worrier, I had a worry. I was having a worry. It was kind of something I'd been thinking about for a while and I brought it up to my husband. And you know, when you have those worries or those things that you have to bring up in a partnership and you're like, ugh, this might just be a really hard conversation, or it might, like, if they get frustrated, then I'm going to get frustrated. And you kind of get like a little bit preemptively mad, like they're going to say this and then I'm going to say this. And so I was ready for this conversation to be tricky and hard. And I was worried that like either of us or both of us might get defensive. And what was so interesting as I tried to say my thing, but then also leave some space, is that my husband was doing such a great job listening that I couldn't, like, all I could have was gratitude for the way that the conversation was going in terms of like the healthiness of the conversation. So like totally removing the actual thing that we were talking about, I kept saying, I just feel like we're communicating really well right now. And I was like, I was prepared for you to get defensive or me to get defensive, because this is just, it's a topic that we've kind of circled around before and got frustrated about. And the things that he kept saying, he said, so at one point he was like, I'm really sorry. He said, I know that this topic is really stressful for you. I can see that it creates anxiety for you. I can see when you are kind of stewing on it. And I know that you don't like bringing up hard things to talk about. And so I thank you for coming and bringing this so that we can figure it out together. And I was kind of stunned, and not because, like, my husband's a great listener, but he was saying all these things where I was like, that's like the exact right thing to say. And that's the stuff I'm not good about at saying in intimate relationships. I'm so busy wanting to be seen in an intimate relationship. Like, do you even know? Do you even know how hard I'm working? And do you even see that this and that and this is the other thing? And I was literally taking notes from his listening skills in terms of how I could be a better listener. And that the whole conversation was this really, really fantastic conversation where we didn't just like figure out the issue that we had been circling around that had been causing frustration and confusion, but we also were able to have this conversation about what works for us in terms of communication. And at the end, I was like, wow, like, I feel like we both listened to each other and we both were able to get it all out. And we were both able to really hear each other, even though some of the things we were saying to one another were things that neither of us wanted to hear or enjoyed hearing, or we both had to acknowledge, like, yeah, you're right. And I wish that you weren't, like, I don't like that about this situation, or I wish I had done something better or different or what have you. And it felt like this really growing moment in our communication. And that felt really good at the end, and also hopeful in terms of like the next time we have to have another hard conversation, you know, because these things come up routinely in relationships, that like we've practiced this skill in a way that felt like we've evolved. And maybe that's just 20 years of being in a relationship. And also like surprising that like we're 20 years in and we're feeling like, oh, wow, like we just practiced a new skill that felt really healthy and more productive than when we practiced the skill in the past. So like for those of you who are less than 20 years into a relationship, just know you have plenty of opportunities to continue practicing communication. So in listening to, or in noticing how my husband processed this conversation last night and noticing that communication, and then in paying attention to, as I've been making friends with more introverts recently and noticing how they engage with the world, I've been able to observe some really fantastic listening skills. And I'm really trying to take notes because I want to be a really good listener. One of the things I noticed recently with one of Vinny's really good friends, moms, who's an introvert and the best question asker I've ever met, is we were sitting in a baseball game, and I noticed how when she engages with someone that she asks a question that's super open-ended and she lets the person talk as long as it takes them to talk, and then she asks another question that's a super open-ended question. And I noticed that she had this ability to get people to talk. And I can do this in an interview because I have a format that I'm using. I put it together in advance. I've created a template so that I know how the conversation is going to go and I know what I'm going to say so that I'm opening up space for other people. But in real life conversations, it's way harder for me. So I'm listening to this mom, and I noticed this over the course of sitting together with her at two baseball tournaments, how she'll ask a question, the person opens up and shares all these things. Then she asks a follow-up question, the person opens up and even more. And when she replies to things, she's often not centering herself. She just continues to center the other person. And so she's not sharing stories about, oh my gosh, yeah, that happened to me too. But she's just listening and she's just asking more questions and she's just taking it in. And it's so fascinating to watch her operate in conversations because I feel like she's really strong in conversations in all the ways that I'm not. And I'm like a person who loves to be in conversation and loves to relate to people. But I have like my strengths and my weaknesses, and my things that are strong are really strong, and my things that are weak are really weak, probably like most people. And so it's really fun and interesting to watch how other people communicate and to learn and take lessons so that I can communicate it more effectively and that I can help other people feel seen and heard and held when I'm in conversation with them. That's really, really important to me. And I want to make sure that I'm always honing that in, you know, honing in on that skill more and more. So a few tips, a few skills that I'm going to invite you to practice, and these are some things that I've been practicing as well. When in conversation with other people, and when I'm really focusing on being a better listener and not centering myself as the talker, is first of all, as I just mentioned, observing how introverts or observing how other good listeners in your life engage in conversation. So it doesn't just have to be introverts, but other people who are good listeners, like who are the good listeners in your life, the people that you would go to because they're a great listener. Notice how they engage in conversation, whether it's a conversation that they're having with you or it's a conversation that you're, you know, on the periphery of. Notice how they engage in conversation, because how they engage in conversation, they're probably using skills that you maybe haven't sharpened or strengthened to the same degree. And you can start doing that by just noticing and labeling what they're doing. This episode is supported by EarnIn. Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you earn now can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Super, super easy to use. You just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. So the app is free. You can leave a tip if you want. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. So here's the thing. Sometimes getting close to your next paycheck, next pay period, and you realize, oh gosh, like paycheck doesn't come until next Friday, but we have this event that we need to attend this weekend and we need money for it. Or we have to buy a gift for someone. Or, oh my gosh, like my kid tore through their shoes and now we have to buy new shoes this weekend and the money's not in the bank yet. So EarnIn can help you access the money you've already earned at work by giving you this little bit of money in advance. So make EarnIn part of your financial routine and join EarnIn's over 3.5 million customers who say things like, when I think about EarnIn, I think about financial stability and security, and it gives me a lot of peace of mind. So for our listeners, all you need to do is download EarnIn today. It's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, and you can download it in Google Play or the Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in Shameless Mom under podcast when you sign up. So there'll be a little place where you can, where it says, what podcast did you hear about them on? Type in Shameless Mom under podcast. This helps show support for our show and our advertisers. EarnIn is a financial technology company, not a bank, and subject to your available earnings, daily max, pay period max, and location. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. This episode is supported by a podcast I want to share with you called Understood Explains. So this show is about navigating ADHD, dyslexia, and other learning and thinking differences, which can be so confusing. And so every season of the show is around a different theme. So there's a season on special education, there's a season on ADHD diagnosis for adults, and the current season is all about IEPs. I love this podcast because the episodes are 10 to 15 minutes long. So if you are short on time or short on focus, you can take this content in super quickly, easily. It's very digestible. And the show is hosted by teacher and special education expert, Juliana Urtube. So Juliana talks all about how to navigate educational plans, IEPs. She talks about the differences between IEPs and 504 plans. She really breaks things down in a really clear and simple way so that you have some of those questions that you might be thinking around, like, does this pertain to my child? Is this something I need to be looking into? Like, where do we go from here? Where do I go if I have questions? Juliana has you covered. She explains so many different things and so many different little pieces and nuance of IEPs and special education and different things on Understood Explains. So I want you to go check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. You can go listen to Understood Explains. Just go into your podcast app, do a search for Understood Explains, and it will pop right up. Click on it, pick your episode, and get the answers that you've been looking for and the support that you need around different learning differences and differences in school. The next tip that you can start practicing is noticing your listening to talking ratio. There are definitely times, and I feel like since being diagnosed with ADHD, I'm more aware of this than I was before. Although I think I was aware of it before, but I didn't pick up on it in the same ways that I do now. But anyway, I will like find myself in events noticing how much have you talked compared to other people at this table? Or how have other people talked? And if there's other people who haven't talked at all, like how can you engage them versus you being the person to like, you know, take over the conversation? I've also noticed this as someone with anxiety because I'm also a person who will get home from a social event and think, oh my gosh, I like talked way too much at that event. I'm the person who talked the most at the table. And this is actually a trait of ADHD and anxiety, but where you have this massive discomfort around it. And then you're like, should I like send out a text, a group text and be like, sorry guys, I talked way too much last night. So one of the things I've been doing is noticing my listening to talking ratio over the last few years and being aware in the moment so that when I get home, I'm not like, did I over talk tonight? I think I might have said way more than everyone else. The next tip is when someone is sharing, notice and try to catch yourself. And this is hard to do, but notice and try to catch yourself when you are formulating your response while they're still talking. If you have ADHD, or anxiety, it can be really tricky because your brain is working really fast and you're trying to remember all the things. And so someone who might talk for, you know, they're talking to you for 40 seconds to answer a question or engage in the conversation. And for like, as soon as they're 3 seconds in, you already are like, oh my gosh, I want to respond to that. And then I want to respond to that. And every few seconds you're like, and then I want to respond to that. And you're building your list in your head because you are excited about the conversation and you want to participate and you don't want to forget that you have something to say about every single word that they just said. And so you're trying to remember that list the whole time they're talking. And that is really, really tricky to overcome. But when you can catch yourself and then trust that the important parts of this conversation are going to keep going, regardless of whether or not I provide my like 13 point, you know, bit of feedback here. If I don't get through my whole bullet list in response to this person's 40 second contribution to the conversation, like we're going to still be okay. We're going to still be okay. The conversation is going to continue to move on and we will have other things to talk about and the conversation can evolve in other ways that will be just as beneficial and just as interesting and just as enjoyable and just as, you know, fruitful and effective. And that's okay that you don't have to have like your point counterpoint for every single thing in a conversation. Next is when someone else is sharing, pause for a beat when they're done to see if they have more to say. And this is a coaching thing for sure. And this is also a comfort thing. So extroverts can be very uncomfortable with silence and with like blank air or empty space in a conversation. And this is something I've practiced a lot in coaching and gotten really good at, if I do say so myself, because I do it in coaching. I also do it in group facilitation. So I'll do this. It's funny. People have pointed out to me if I'm leading a group, like in a corporate setting, I can sit and stand in front of a room of 80, 100, 200 people and ask a question. And if no one responds, I can just keep standing there. Now, a few years ago, if no one responded within like a nanosecond, I would just be like, oh my gosh, let me fill the space. Now I can stand there and I can just wait until someone says something. And I also know what I will say to guide them to say something if no one is speaking up. So I know how I can say like, I'm going to go ahead and wait a minute before I move on because I know some of you are still processing. So when you're done processing, if you have something to say, go ahead and say it, or I'll sit here, stand here, or stay here for a bit. Or I'll say, I'm going to go ahead and wait for about 30 more seconds because I know sometimes, especially introverts are processing, they have something. It takes a little longer to process, but then when they do, they find their gold. And that's the thing that everyone in the room needs to hear. So I'm going to wait like another 30 seconds in case some of you are still coming up with that thing, like you know the golden nugget is there. So I'm just going to sit here and wait, or we're just going to sit here and wait. And I can sit there for a long time. And people will come up to me afterwards and they'll be like, you like really know how to hold silence. And I will tell you, it's one of my most proud accomplishments. So holding silence is something I've gotten really comfortable with, but it was really challenging. So in an interpersonal relationship, when someone's sharing, how can you pause for a beat when they're done before you respond so that if they have something more to say, it comes out? And I try to do this if I notice like I'm talking way more than someone else, or if I'm just talking to someone who, you know, maybe is slower to get responses out or is more introverted and their pace is different than mine. Like my pace is super fast and I know that it can be a lot to keep up with. It can be overwhelming. It can be exhausting for people. And I also want to respect that other people's pacing is different. And so I can pause for a minute to see if someone's done before I respond, before I go into the next thing. And in a group conversation to see like if someone else wants to chime in before me. Even though I often think I have something to say immediately when someone in a group speaks up, like sit and wait for a second and let two other people talk first. If you've ever been in that group situation where there's the one person who always has something to say and they're always the first person in the group that has to talk, it's so annoying to me in that situation. So if you're someone who's like always jumping to be the one to participate, sit down for a second and wait for two more people to go first and then say your thing. And sometimes other people will steal what you're about to say and that's okay. And that's another thing that's a struggle. I'm like, well, but I want to be the one that says it. It's okay if someone else is the one that says it. It still brings value to the group. And that's the significance of a group conversation, right? The next thing that you can do is maintaining eye contact and engaged body listening. I don't know about you, but if I'm in a crowd or in a crowded room and I'm trying to have a one-on-one conversation with someone and a lot of people are walking by, my eyes, I'm like constantly, and again, ADHD here, but my eyes are like constantly looking to the side, like, who's that that just walked by? Huh, they have cute shoes. Who's that just walked by? Wow, their voice was loud. Who's that just walked by? Oh, they're carrying a cute baby. Oh my gosh, I wanna go say hi to the baby. People know that you are not listening when you are thinking about going and saying hi to the cute baby that just sat down at the table next to you at the restaurant. So how can you stay engaged in eye contact and engaged body language where you're like, you're facing the person and you're staying locked in on them versus shifting around and looking at other things and, you know, getting distracted by the cute baby that just walked by or the person's, you know, fun shoes or what brand their backpack is or their purse because you might want to go try to find it online. So how can you use your eye contact and body language to really stay engaged in that act of listening? Next is to ask more open-ended questions. So saying one of the things, and it's funny, so many of my friends and I now will say this to each other, but like someone says something and then you're just like, hold on, say more. And then you just sit there. And I got this from Brené Brown, but you just say more and people will just keep going. I know the kids now say less. Mom, say less. But asking people to say more, tell me more about that. Tell me more about that experience. Oh my gosh, that's so interesting. I want to hear more about it. Another thing you can say is, how did that make you feel? Like asking follow-up questions that are open-ended. How did that make you feel? Or what do you mean by that? One of the things that I notice in conversations is I jump to conclusions about things. If something like hits me the wrong way, I immediately in my head am like offended and defensive. And instead of pausing for a minute, I'm just immediately like on guard. Like, wait, hold on. What? Like, what'd that person say? And I don't call them out in the moment, but I'm like logging away that like that person just said this thing and here's what I think they meant by it. Now I'm mad. Instead of saying, oh, what do you mean by that? And I have learned 1 million times, and I think I'm going to have to continue to learn 1 million more times, that a lot of times people say things and they're thinking one thing when they're saying it. And I'm just living a different experience and having a different kind of a day. And I hear something totally different than what they intended me to hear in terms of like tone of voice and kind of contextually how it comes across. And when you say, oh, what do you mean by that? Then they further explain and you're like, oh, yeah. Like I got it. I totally get it. And the thing that you thought was maybe offensive or going to make you mad is not that thing. Sometimes we get in our own way because we're jumping to conclusions that someone just said the thing we don't want to hear. They said it in a way we didn't like. So how can you ask those open-ended questions to keep people talking so that you can continue to listen and then respond in ways that are meaningful to that person? And then the last thing is validating what people are saying. And so listening to the extent that you understand how someone feels about something or you can see the picture that they've painted and then you're like, oh my gosh, yeah, like I can see how that would be hard or that sounds really overwhelming or yeah, those situations are really exhausting for me too. Like you're validating the thing that they just said and you're showing that you actually listen because you have a way of coming back to the conversation and reflect a reflection of what they just said that lets them know that you actually were listening. So if you are like me and you are a talker, and you think you have a lot of great stories and you always have something to say and you want to be the first person to say it, I'm going to invite you to practice listening because not only will you get more out of the conversations, you'll also strengthen your relationships with people in a new way and also create a new dynamic in your relationships that really helps to build trust and make everyone in conversation feel seen and heard and held in new and better ways. Thank you for listening. I hope this was helpful. I hope that you pass this along to maybe some of your talker friends. Maybe be like, hey, friend, I love you. You're kind of a talker. Maybe you should listen to this episode. Or if you have a friend who's a great listener, just be like, here's an episode that you can listen to. And I want you to know that you're a great listener and I appreciate you for it. So thank you for being here. Thank you for listening. And please know that I'm in this with you always. Thank you so much for joining me in the Shameless Mom Academy today. I really, really appreciate you being here, and I hope you learned something new. As always, this conversation will be continued over in our free private Facebook group. You can join that group by going to shamelessmom.com/Facebook to connect with other shameless moms just like you. Additionally, if this is your first time listening to the show, know that we are here every Monday and Wednesday with a brand new episode. So make sure you subscribe. Go to whatever podcast app you use and subscribe to the show so you never miss an episode. You can do that directly if you go to shamelessmom.com/review. That will put you in Apple Podcasts, where you can click on the subscribe button, and you can also leave a review. If you scroll down a little bit, you can leave a 5-star review. You can write a few sentences letting me know what you thought about the show. If you let me know how the show has impacted you in becoming a more shameless mom, you might be nominated to be Shameless Mom of the Week. Also, please share this episode. My goal is to help more mamas be more shameless every damn day. So please do share this episode. You can take a screenshot of the episode on your phone and then share it out on social media. Tag me at the Shameless Mom Academy on Facebook or Instagram. I'm quick to reply and eager to send you Facebook love and love to be connected to all of you. So again, thank you for being here. I can't wait to be back here again with you in just a couple days. And until then, no matter what you do today, make sure you do it shamelessly.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.